I was once counseling with a young brother who was not attending the meetings, including the breaking of bread, on a regular basis. Yeah. And when I asked him straight off, why? And he says, well, I get nothing out of it. And I said, well, dear brother, you've got something upside down. I said, the worship meeting is not where you go to get, it's where you go to bring. It's the only meeting where we go to bring. It's the Lord receiving. Well, we may receive something too, but the essence is to go to bring. But it says, if you go to the meeting empty, you got nothing to bring. But if you go full, you got lots. You want to empty yourself. But it says, where do you go to get filled? It's not the worship meeting. It's the ministry meeting. It's the Bible reading. Even the prayer meeting. And if we're going there and being filled, like that pot that the Lord said, fill it with water and then turn it into wine. You know, if we go as empty vessels to be filled and at these various meetings, then on Sunday we're going to come so full that we're going to burst forth that which is going to be blessing to the master of the house and everybody else in the house. So this is very important to see that. If I'm going to the worship meeting to receive something, you're going to the wrong meeting to receive it in the first place. Go to the midweek meeting, go to the ministry meeting, get filled, go into the study of the Word, and there you can come and you have plenty to bring. Remember in the Old Testament, no one was allowed to come to the Lord's presence empty-handed. They had to have something.
But also, when the woman broke her alabaster box, the house was filled with the odor. And so they could enjoy the overflow of what she brought as well.
Right. Amen. So who should break bread, brother? Brother Sam, you want to move us into this? I thought the question that you want to cover in the last few... So who should break bread and what age that person should be at? And I'm just reading
and
the schedule.
And should they be baptized? These are questions that come up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't dormant these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have young people who are saved, and you don't force people into baptism, but they may get saved when they're 5 or 10. And I just got a word from a brother Langhorne to me the other day. His son asked for baptism, so I said, "Don't let me miss out on that, because I want to be there to hear that, to see that." But you know, we delight to see those who've been saved going on and making that public declaration, so that they can express their burial and their resurrection. But the question is raised, and we need some help.
I hate to, maybe I'm wrong, but I believe in chapter 10 of Acts, Peter says he commanded them to be baptized. And we think of Ananias with the Apostle Paul when he recounts his conversion. He says, why linger you, or why tarry you? Rise, be baptized. We've softened it by saying, would you like to be? The question is, it should be a natural thing that follows conversion
yes.
Is to be baptized. And the natural thing that should follow that is remembering the Lord in the breaking of bread.
Let me just mention this. The Lord has never asked anybody to be baptized. It's not obedience. He told the baptizer to baptize. The responsibility is always with the baptizer, not with the person being baptized.
Right.
I believe a person should be baptized before he comes in fellowship is true. But we've had people come in fellowship who weren't baptized because there was snow on the ground. We couldn't get to it till a little bit later. But anyhow, they were. And there are some who have household baptism as children. So we have that too, you know, brother. And a baptism is not an assembly function, it's a kingdom function. If you read your Bible.
But anyway, yes. In light of the kingdom,
yeah, right.
And people need to be baptized.
Of course.
There's no question. There's no escape.
No question.
Because the Lord commanded it, and it's another issue we can discuss at some time, in a setting by itself, household or believers, and all these things.
Yeah.
But the thought is about the breaking of the bread. There are some questions that are really serious questions, and I think a lot of young people will face it on a daily basis in different assemblies. And I think that's the exercise of the brethren locally, that who should break bread? What age should they break bread? I like the simplicity of it, brethren. We don't want to beat around the bush. I like the simplicity. And how does one know that they are ready? And I think if we can help one another to understand, maybe it, you know, we can gain much.
I know of a 10-year-old person who didn't want the Lord to come back before that person remembered him. And that person was exercised. That was unusual for a 10-year-old person to be receiving fellowship. But the brethren visited and was satisfied, and that 10-year-old person was received. And that 10-year-old person is in her 40s and then still in fellowship. So you can't set an age. Maybe in Europe you can't get in fellowship until you're 18 or 19 years of age.
What was that, brother?
In Europe. Some of the European assemblies.
Do you think there's a development in the soul of the individual? Obviously, we're
an exercise.
You're making reference to those who have grown up in the assembly. I think that's the primary emphasis here. And obviously, they've been under the sound of the word for a long time. They've heard the gospel for years. They've heard about the love of Christ and the love of God. And these are believers, young believers who've grown. And it has a lot to do with exercise and desire. And I was thinking of 2 Timothy again. You know, 2 Timothy is the days in which we live, the character, and it's the day full of self. In chapter 3, it's lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And self is so prominent, especially in this society and in Europe. It's just so, self is everything. And I think that's a danger, and that's what holds a lot of young people back. Because they're thinking, what's it going to interfere with what's for me? And when we think of the remembrance of the Lord, as was said, it's something to do with not what's for me. It's what's for Christ. And if I really value the salvation that He's given so wonderfully to me, if I value the grace of God that's brought me into what we've been talking about, all these rich blessings, what is my response? What should the normal response be? It should be to give Him, in a little tiny way, what He desires. And He said, this too, in remembrance of me. It's a request of love. And I think if there is really a soul here that's not breaking bread, who is saved, why are they waiting? Maybe there's this, I think Brother Mark, you mentioned, maybe there's some sin in their life that needs to be dealt with. Maybe there's something that's not right that needs to be judged. Well, I would encourage each young person, judge it. If you need counseling, talk to a brother who's faithful. And counsel about how to get this matter solved. But no, don't linger. Give the Lord what He should have. That's really the attitude.
Well, as far as perhaps examination, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, since we're talking about the Lord's Supper, it says right there, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so there ought to be self-examination. And in 1 John, he says that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, but if we confess our sins, our part, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there is responsibility of the individual to examine, to confess, and to follow that which the Lord has set forth for him or her to do.